We are now recording.
Okay, it is 9:03 a.m. on August 20th, 2020, and I'm calling the Arizona Board of Technical Registration meeting to order. And with a quick note, this is a call-in meeting. There are three members present at the table, but for the sake of the recording, please state your name before you speak, and please be respectful to understand that we can only hear one person at a time on the phone. So we'll try to maintain as much order and control as we can with the dialogue on the phone.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of echo right now on the line. And Patty, I think it might be your line.
Is it me?
It was Melissa.
It's still a lot of echo. It's still there.
No, mine.
Wait, that is me.
No, you're muted. No, all of our computers are muted. It's somebody else's.
That's better. That sounds fine now.
As a reminder to anybody out there, if you're on a phone and a computer, you got to mute one of them.
Is it the recorder?
No, this is somebody has two devices on the same meeting. So they have to hang up their phone or turn off their computer.
Well, the meeting's in late until I can get the ticket to do it.
It looks like there's, the devices I see that are not muted, it's Patty, and then there's a 925 and a 623 that also runs.
Not here. I'm just going to mute Patty that way. All right, well, that seems to have done it. Her computer was muted, but I muted her on this, and for some reason that seems to have worked. So,
thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Yep.
Okay, I think our technical difficulty is straightened out. Again, just a reminder to those on the phone, let's try to be orderly and announce yourself for the record when you do speak. With that, we will begin with the roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Here.
Jack Gilmore.
Here.
Neil Jones.
Here.
Jason Foose.
Here.
Clarence McAllister. He's going to be late. Carmen's going to be late. Stephen Knoll.
Here.
Andrew Everode indicated he will not be here. Eugene Montgomery.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. We'll move on to the call to the public. Members of the public may address the board during this call to the public for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS 38431. 01H. The board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on the matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. However, members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda. I do not have anybody signed up for call to the public. Is there anybody on the phone that wants to address us in the call to the public?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Elliot Isaac, and I'm an attorney, and I represent Mark Boggs, and Mr. Boggs is on the line as well. We are scheduled, I believe, to discuss his matter today. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we are available if you have any questions for us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that is item 6A1 that he's referring to, so that's not a call to the public item.
6A.
Yeah. I don't hear anyone on the phone responding to the call to the public, so at this time, I'll close the call to the public and move on to the adoption of the minutes. We have several items to look at here. We'll start with 4A, approve, modify, or reject the July 28th, 2020 board meeting minutes. What I'd like to do in this case is just go through a roll call for approval. If you have any comments or modifications, please, before you vote, that would be an appropriate time to express your concerns.
Yeah. Dr. Alejandro Angel, we have to have a motion.
Shall I make a motion?
Kurt, I move that we...
Go ahead, Dr. Angel.
No, I just move that we approve the minutes. Thanks, Jack.
I'll second that, Chair.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. As we go through the roll call, if you have any comments, please assert them then.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Eugene Montgomery.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, we voted to approve, modify, approve the July 28th, 2020 meeting minutes, and there were no comments with that. So we'll move on to 4B1, approve, modify, or reject the July 28th, 2020, 10:35 a.m. board meeting executive session minutes, and I'm looking for a motion.
Board, I'll make a motion. I'd like to suggest we approve the executive session for July 28th.
Second. We have a motion and a second. We'll move to the roll call. And again, if you do have any comments, corrections, or please express them before your vote.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Eugene Montgomery.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, we approved the July 28, 2020, 10:35 a.m. Board Executive Meeting Minutes. We'll go on to item 4B2, approve, modify, reject the July 28, 2020, 11:06 a.m. Board Meeting Executive Minutes. Again, I'm looking for a motion.
Board Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the executive session for 11:06.
Second. We have a motion and a second. And again, if those on the phone, if you have any comments, please express them before you vote, and we'll move on to the roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Eugene Montgomery.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Kurt, this is Carmen. I got out of my other meeting earlier.
Very good.
Hi, Carmen.
Okay, we just voted to approve item 4B2, the executive session meeting minutes from July 28, 2020 at 11:06. And Carmen Wyckoff has joined us on the meeting after that vote. We'll move on to item 5, formal hearings. There's no formal hearings this month, so we will go on to item 6, enforcement matters. And 6A1 is the first parties signed up on my list here, and that would be case number AL20011. Apparently Mr. Boggs, the respondent, and Mr. Isaac, his attorney, are on the line. So we will move to 6A1.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mr. Finn should be the respondent for that matter as well.
And thank you, Kurt. I do have Mr. Finn. Are you on the line, Mr. Finn?
Mr. Barr.
Yes, sir, I am.
And Mr. Barr, Mr. Finn's attorney?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, I'm on the phone as well as with Mike Finn of Pueblo Mechanical.
Why does my thing say Bouchelle on it? It's a respondent.
Mine says that too.
Mr. Bouchelle is the CEO, I believe, and Mr. Finn is the human resources manager.
Who's
with Mr. Barr.
Complaint against
Pueblo Mechanical and Daniel Bouchelle. The attorney for Pueblo Mechanical and Daniel is Mr. Barr.
Okay, so let me open up the case. It is AL20011. It's agenda item 6A1. The respondent is Daniel Bouchelle, non-registrant, The synopsis of the complaint is, on April 30, 2020, the board staff received a complaint alleging that the respondent and respondent alarm business engaged in alarm system sale activities with the University of Washington Primate Lab in Tempe, Arizona, Hankins Movie Theaters located in Arizona, Brookdale Senior Living Facilities in Arizona, Five Star Senior Living Facilities in Arizona, without registration with the board as an alarm business. The investigative conclusions are that the respondent has not violated the board statute 32-121, 32-12205, and 32-141A by conducting alarm business activities without alarm business registration. The staff recommendation is dismiss the case. So at this time, I'll open it up to the alleger or his attorney. I'll start with his attorney, Mr. Isaac. You have the floor right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, board members. My client, Mark Boggs, was hired to sell alarm systems. When he worked for the company, he told the company that they needed to get appropriate licensing. And when he worked for the company, he worked on selling alarm systems. And now the company claims that they didn't know that he was selling alarm systems. And Mr. Chairman, I sent a 20-page document to Erin Correll on July 21, 2020 that she was going to submit to the board, which contained a whole bunch of evidence in support of our claim. Has the board had a chance to review that?
Yes, that would be attachment 3.G.
Yes, sir, that was in our packet.
Right.
Okay, and again, I think that those documents show conclusively that on numerous occasions, the company knew exactly what my client was doing. He informed them, they knew he was selling alarm systems. So we are concerned by the conclusion that the company did not violate any statutes or rules and regulations in this regard. Again, the company's position has been, and Ms. Correll has worked with us and has done a really excellent job facilitating the discussion on this, but the company's position is they didn't know what my client was doing. And the documents that I've attached, I mean, they show conclusively that my client copied the company, showed the company what he was doing. They knew he was selling alarm systems. So to us, it's just kind of hard to fathom how a board could come to the conclusion that the company didn't have knowledge that my client was selling alarm systems. And if the board has any particular questions for Mr. Boggs in regard to the attachment to my July 21st letter, they can certainly direct that to Mr. Boggs, as he was the one who put that attachment together. So those are my comments. And Your Honor, this is my first time appearing before this board. So procedurally, I'm just not sure where to go from here. But if the court wants, I can have my client make discuss basically the exhibit to the board. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac. Mr. Boggs, apparently there's some information that you wanted to share with us, so I'll turn the floor over to you.
The only thing that I can add, besides all the evidence, if you reviewed the evidence, is that, you know, I was hired specifically to do electronic security system sales. In fact, I'm looking at my offer of employment, and it is for electronic security system sales. That's what I was hired for. When I came in, found out they weren't licensed, I notified them right away. I basically did nothing but try to sell security and low voltage alarm reporting type systems. That's what I did. That was my task. On my business card, it said security sales. So the only thing I can add is everything in anything I did was all around security sales and notifying the company that they weren't licensed, that they should be licensed. If there's any questions that you might have, I can answer anything at this point, but that is what I would add at this point.
Thank you, sir. I will open the floor to Daniel Barr, the attorney for Mr. Finn.
Thank you, everyone. And, and we can refer any questions to Mr. Finn if you have any. Ms. Connell has done a thorough investigation of these allegations here. There's been absolutely no evidence presented to support them. In fact, if we were in a court of law, frankly, these allegations would be sanctionable. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. And to claim that Pueblo Mechanical didn't know that Mr. Boggs was selling alarm systems, I mean, the truth was Mr. Boggs wasn't selling anything. He wasn't selling alarm systems, and he wasn't selling anything. The evidence here, the documents produced, shows that Pueblo Mechanical is not offering alarm systems, and that Mr. Boggs is not doing so. He may have wanted to, and he may have had discussions with them about wanting to, but that never happened. And indeed, Mr. Boggs never sold anything. And with that, I would refer the board to Mr. Finn for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Finn, we'll open the floor to you.
I believe Mr. Barr has stated our position very well. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to address those, but I have no statement further than what Mr. Barr has presented.
Thank you. The board members, does anybody have any questions for either the respondent or the alleger or their legal staff?
Mr. Chair, I do, if there's an opportunity. I mean, somebody else has questions. I'm happy to defer, but I have a couple of questions.
Dr. Angel, you have the
this
floor.
This is Alejandro Angel. Thank you. So I think one would like Pueblo to elaborate on hiring Mr. Boggs' electronic security systems sales rep. And if that's not intended to be alarms, then what is it?
This is Mr. Finn with Pueblo Mechanical. I'll answer that question if that's okay. The security systems was for really two pieces, which were security cameras and for access, so card access, key card access, that type of thing to enter and gain access to a facility, but not any type of alarming systems associated with that.
Okay, and I guess I'll explain. I think there's an issue or the question here is a question of definition of what constitutes an alarm, and I'm not sure I'm one side or the other at this point, but the proposal from Pueblo Mechanical for the University of Washington Primate Lab, and I understand that they were not prime. They provided this as a subcontractor. They did provide this quote. Talks about installing photoelectric beam towers to detect movements across the protection pattern, and then beams will be interconnected to the NVR for notifications and alerting security. So that last part worries me a little bit. Having cameras, it's fine, but if they're being used to alert security, it seems like they would be closer to an alarm system. And then when I go to our definitions for statutes of what an alarm system is, it says it's a mechanical or electrical device designed to emit an audible alarm. And I think Pueblo has been clear they don't do audible alarms, but it also says, or transmit a signal or message. And the proposal said that this was interconnected for notification, so I take that to be a signal. And then it says, used to detect unauthorized entry or alert other persons of the occurrence of an emergency or unlawful act against a person or building. Alerting security for me is what that is. So I get the other side of the argument, which is you know, this is very similar to what a, you know, Ring doorbell does, is it takes video and then sends you a notification on your phone. But I'm sensitive to that side of the equation, but I also think what was being offered included what the alarm's definition is, which is monitoring, sending a signal, and alerting someone. So maybe for Puebla to explain why they don't think what they do is an alarm.
Well, first, this is Dan Barr, and Mike Finn can explain this more, but my understanding is for the University of Washington Primate System, that bid, we were the subcontractor, and the bid was made under the license of the general contractor. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes. Let me elaborate on that just a little bit, if I may. So this was the only sales proposal that actually went out from Mr. Boggs, and it was not to University of Washington. It was rather to Corporate Technology Solutions, and their contract license is 259799. And this was it was for signaling to the security that something had been triggered, not an audible alarm or not an alarm that would go to directly to a off-site security or anything. It was for the on-site security of that particular location. And again, it wasn't to University of Washington through Corporate Technology Solutions as a subcontractor under them.
Yes. I understand that. I still think it comes dangerously close to an alarm in that it does send signals and alert security. So I would just caution you. And when I go to your website, that does not seem like the type of services you advertise or offer. But I don't think you should be offering those services. My two cents.
And this is Elliot Isaac. And again, I'm not familiar with the procedure here, but may I ask Mr. Boggs to comment on the University of Washington bid and several other bids that he prepared where we believe there's clear evidence that alarm systems were being sold and that they did fall under the definition of a system designed to emit an audible alarm or transmit a signal or message if activated. Again, may I ask Mr. Boggs to comment on that?
I'm not sure if you can, Mr. Isaac. Let's hold for a second. Let me verify that with the Attorney General.
Mr. Chair, it's your discretion. This is the initial review for this matter. It's entirely up to you. If you've heard enough from the parties to make a decision, that's fine. If you want to hear further, it's up to you.
Okay. Chair. Mr. Isaac, I will give you the floor for your question.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and board members. I appreciate the courtesy. And Mark, if you could just comment on the University of Washington proposal. And also, there were several other bids that you prepared, I believe, for Harkins Theaters, for Brookdale Senior Living, and for Five Star Senior Living. And if you could explain how those involved alarm systems as well. I think that might be illuminating to the board. So please, Mark.
Okay. So in sitting here and listening to this, it was very clear to me. In fact, if Isaac hadn't said something, I certainly would have said something. The other counsel seems to insinuate that I did nothing while I was there and I didn't sell anything. And that's just the way it is. And that's completely wrong. In fact, if you look at the exhibits, the University of Washington, that was absolutely an alarm system. I have, and the only reason that I can be so definitive in a lot of this, I have 35 years of experience in the security field. I've worked for ADT Commercial, Residential, Stanley Healthcare. So I know low voltage systems, and that was one of the reasons why when I was hired, I asked them, are you a licensed alarm company? And Brandon Hunt, the VP of sales, told me yes, they were. Well, when I got in and I tried to change my alarm license, I quickly found out that Puebla was not licensed. And then that's when I sent them the information on November 13th that basically said, here's the Arizona statute that you need to follow and where to go. And I gave them a link to actually apply. That was because what I was doing and what I was preparing to do and what I did was sell security systems. The primate lab is a set of beams because they have a problem with people climbing over the fence to get to the primate lab. And this was a set of beams that would alert via an audible message and a message to security that they needed to respond. To make a definition that it was on-site or off-site or whatever, that really one didn't come up. I was told it was so security could respond. So that would be that one. In reference to Harkins Theaters, I did a demo for a manager at the Harkins Norterra location for a shooter detection system. That cannot be a silent system. That's an audible system. Pardon me? That's an audible system. And that's all documented in the exhibits that I provided. My manager knew that I was working on it. In fact, my manager said it was a good opportunity. So there's that. The PowerPoint presentations, that showed exactly what we were doing, which was alarm systems. There were shooter detection. There was a lot of other things that were there, but they were all basically emergency systems that give you an audible and notify staff. So in reference to another project that I was working on, which I haven't heard mentioned, is a project for Jovan thermal detection. These were kiosks that are being installed all over the United States that have a door sensor, a shocked impact sensor, and a tilt sensor inside. I was in active negotiations and discussions with the president of that company, and those are being deployed all over the United States. In fact, that system is in Mayo Hospital here in Arizona. We were supposed to do that. I provided information, and I provided the picture of the kiosk showing the sensors. I know that Aaron, the investigator, had talked to the owner of that company, verified that I did, and I was in discussions, and I was soliciting security systems with him for this device, which sounded an alarm and gave an audible. So there's another example that I was absolutely doing a lot of this, but a lot of it is, other than what you see here, all of it was documented. The Jovan system was a major sale, but these things take time. You have to remember that for the Pueblo side to say, well, he just didn't do any sales. This isn't, these sales are large sales. They're significant sales. They like these kiosks. This is to sell hundreds of these things. Every one is going to have an alarm system on. So that's what I would say. I think there's overwhelming evidence.
Mark, this is Elliot. Yes. Can you also talk about Brookdale Senior Living and Five Star Senior Living? And then based on your 35 years of experience, in light of the type of product that you were selling, do you think that the board should retain jurisdiction over these types of projects? So if you could do that, that would be very helpful.
I'm sorry, this is Dan Barr. Before Mr. Boggs shows on, is he just repeating everything that he told Ms. Connell, and Ms. Connell has now thoroughly investigated? I mean, in addition to that, some of what Mr. Boggs just talked about is outside of the complaint that he filed with the board, and which I'm hearing for the first time.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to need to have just a brief recess.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
We are going to take a brief recess, and everybody please stay on hold. We will mute the phone on this end, and we will alert you when we are back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're recording again. Sorry, everyone. We thought we might have lost our quorum there for a second, but we hadn't, so.
Okay, we are back in session here. We had a little technical difficulty there. We left off with a discussion. I believe Mr. Barr had interjected over Mr. Boggs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Elliot Isaac, that is correct, Mr. Yes, he has interrupted, yes.
Let's try to get a little bit of order here. The point for Mr. Barr was that he was hearing what he felt was repetition. Mr. Barr, I appreciate that, but we do like to give everybody their chance to speak. So we'll continue on with Mr. Boggs, where he left off. Mr. Boggs?
Okay. Thank you. In reference to Brookdale and Five Star, those were accounts, those are large national accounts, that I was literally going to their facilities here in Phoenix. And this is before the coronavirus had hit, so it was just before that. But I was actively canvassing their locations to get to the executive director and to get to the mechanical or facility director. But that was all for selling security, fire, nurse call, location systems, all the things that are in senior living facilities. And I have a lot of experience in that from Stanley Healthcare. But they're all alarm reporting type systems that notify staff or notify people on the outside. So that was the other two besides Harkins that were actually provided that was on a list of accounts that I was actively talking to and pursuing.
And then, Mark, if you could, this is Elliot Isaac. If you could just comment, based on your 35 years of experience, do you think the board should be reviewing these types of projects and plans with these types of alarm systems in them? If you could just comment on that.
My comment would be that they are... they are specifically, I think, as far as the business level and the low voltage systems, the other systems that the board monitors, I'll put it that way. I would say they probably are the appropriate ones from being in the industry at this point, yes.
Okay,
thank you, Mr. Chairman, thank you, board members.
Mr. Barr, Mr. Finn, do you have any response to that you want to briefly add or offer?
Yes, this is Dan Barr. I mean, Mr. Boggs hasn't presented any new facts today that Ms. Connell didn't consider or any new arguments. They don't present any reason why this matter shouldn't be dismissed, or why Ms. Connell hasn't thoroughly investigated this matter, and we would urge the board to follow her recommendation and dismiss this complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. We're going to call Ms. Correll to the microphone here. And how did you arrive at a dismissal on this case?
Well, I reviewed several submissions from Mr. Boggs and also from Mr. Isaac. All of the evidence that they presented appeared to be internal discussions with Pueblo Mechanical about potentially entering the alarm business. I wasn't able to conclude that Pueblo Mechanical actually offered or practiced this board-regulated profession. Unfortunately, you know, Doug and I can talk about entering the home inspection industry if we want to, but until we actually do it, there's no violation there. So that was how I reached my conclusion. I just wasn't able to find evidence that supported the allegation.
Were there any complaints or documentation of clients or potential clients saying that they were engaged, or was there anything to that effect, or was all the internal conversations between the alleger and the respondent?
No, so I did receive email documentation from Dan Dietrich with Jogan Thermal Checkpoint, and Dan stated that he did meet with Mr. Boggs to discuss these kiosks. So what I did with that information is I subpoenaed Pueblo Mechanical, I subpoenaed the personnel information of Mr. Boggs to see what he was hired to do. I also subpoenaed any presentations that he created on behalf of Pueblo Mechanical and I specifically asked for any emails between Mr. Boggs and Dan Dietrich at Jogan Thermal Checkpoint. So Mr. Barr and Quibble Mechanical did respond to my subpoena, and they provided me the information that I requested, although Mr. Barr stated that there was no email correspondence between Mr. Boggs and Dan Dietrich, and I wasn't able to confirm that Mr. Boggs met with Dan Dietrich on behalf of Quibble Mechanical. Now, there does seem to be evidence that Mr. Boggs potentially practiced a board-regulated profession under a firm that wasn't registered, but I wasn't able to confirm that Quibble Mechanical approved or, you know, there's no emails indicating go ahead and present this presentation. There's no emails that I could corroborate what Mr. Boggs was saying.
Okay, so there's just a lack of evidence in your investigation.
Exactly.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Angel.
Ms. Correll, just a question, because I think, first of all, I think you did a very thorough investigation, so thank you. But my question is, if Mr. Boggs' title was Electronic Security Systems Sales Rep, I mean, that's what every business calls their sales rep. Wouldn't that imply that they were aware that they hired him to sell electronic security systems?
Yes, Dr. Angel, that's a great question, and I did explore that. Also, in that same document, that's his personnel file, the same document that lists him as an electronic security sales representative is specific where it says that Mr. Boggs was hired to sell Pueblo Mechanical supported products. There was nothing in his hiring documentation that indicated that he was hired to develop or sell for the alarm industry specifically.
I had one last question, but it was for Mr. Boggs, and I'm trying to understand, Mr. Boggs, why did you file the complaint? I mean, you left. Why did you file the complaint and felt compelled to hire an attorney to represent you when you're the alleger?
The main reason is because Flexible Mechanics to me from the beginning. They told me they were licensed. I found out they weren't licensed when I tried to transfer my alarm to them. I notified
Excuse me, Mark, this is Elliot Isaac. Please do answer the question, but if you're required to disclose any communications between you and me, that would be attorney-client privilege. So anything like I told you, you're not allowed to tell the board. But with that warning, please continue with your answer.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, would you repeat your question, and I'll be specific to exactly what you mean?
Sure. My question was, what motivated you, one, to file the complaint, and two, to feel like you needed an attorney to represent you, even though you were not the respondent? You're filing the complaint.
The main reason is because of a good portion because of my ethic values, and I knew that they were supposed to be licensed. They weren't licensed, which means if they weren't licensed, they didn't go through any of the background checks. They didn't. The owners were you know, the security measures that the state puts in place were not being adhered to. Secondly, during the whole time I was there, I didn't just, you know, on February 11th once send them an email saying you need to be licensed. I kept asking. And Dave Fortuna, the day after I sent this to him saying you need to be licensed, I even set up a meeting, and I have an email of that saying I'm going to come up and talk to you. And it was to talk to him about this. And he specifically told me that he understood what I was doing, that they needed to be an alarm license. They needed to have an alarm license. He got it. He understood it. And he told me he would take care of it. So I thought during this whole process that the company would eventually get their license and we could move forward. On April 1st, they fired. They fired me because I was about ready to, you know, do a number of these sales, and they either changed their mind in deciding, you know, not to do alarms or whatever, but I can tell you the whole time I was there, it was to do alarms. And I filed a complaint, one, to stop them from doing what they're doing because it was illegal. I was out soliciting alarms, talking to people. You know, the only thing I can say is I did everything that I was supposed to do, and I got an attorney after this was done because none of this was right. I notified them, I did everything, and then in retaliation, they fire me. It's just not fair. So that's why I got an attorney, and there's a lot of information, a lot of exhibits here, that's why.
Thank you, Mr.
Clark. Board Chair, this is Carmen. I'm inclined to say that since an alarm system wasn't actually sold, I'm inclined to agree with the I would say I work a lot with security cameras in schools and also card access readers. And as they become more sophisticated, they might start edging that line of an alarm system. So I don't know if we can unofficially advise Pueblo to keep an eye on that. Perhaps this is a really simple thing for them to add to their repertoire in the future. But right now, I don't see a case where an alarm system was sold.
Can I add a comment to that? This is Mark Fox. I think what it comes down to is, go ahead. In reference to that, it was reporting, it was an alarm, it notified, it made an audible, and it notified security. So if you look at the qualifications of being an alarm system, it certainly was. I'm very familiar with network video recorders and video recorders and things like that. But in this particular instance, especially at the University of Washington, that was absolutely an alarm. Thank you.
And that was installed as you proposed, Mr. Box?
It was not installed. I was in the process of selling them that and other security devices. It was presented to them. The control division approved it. The director of that group approved it. My manager approved it. So everybody saw what was being approved, and it was an alarm system. And all of that is in the evidence.
This is Elliot Isaac. I guess, I mean, the legal question, and I don't know the answer, is does this board, should it be regulating companies that are in the process, sending out bids, trying to sell alarm systems, but there's no board violation unless they actually sell the system? I would think the board should maintain its oversight role over companies that are trying to sell alarm systems illegally, even if the sale isn't actually consummated. And with that, I don't think I have anything further to say.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac. I need to open this up to the board members for a motion and discussion at the board. I really appreciate the parties for the alleger and the parties for the respondent offering their information. And with that, I will open it up to the board for a motion and discussion.
Mr. Chair, if Pueblo Mechanical is not an alarm company now, are we able to issue a letter of concern or a letter of advice telling them that if they weren't
to pursue this? No, as good of a or as meritorious as an idea as that might be, we're not. I don't think we're in a position to advise them either officially.
Officially.
Yes, Dr. Angel.
Another question is, did we consider sending this to an EAC so someone who's an expert in this field could determine if those elements were alarm systems or not?
Dr. Angel, this is Melissa. We don't have EAC members from the alarm industry, unfortunately. What we do here as staff is look strictly at the definitions that define what is an alarm business and an alarm agent. And in this case, the definition of alarm business says any person, either alone or through a third party, engages in the business of providing alarm monitoring services or selling, leasing, renting, maintaining, repairing, or installing a non-proprietor alarm system or service. So I think that's where staff looked specifically when they considered the evidence in this case. And if Ms. Correll or Mr. Parlin want to add anything, please do.
I don't think I have anything to add to that. I think that's pretty correct. I mean, we really had to look at if there was an offer to sell or a sale, and I just couldn't find evidence of either one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. It was a struggle to really develop the evidence, I think, to meet the threshold of the statute.
Right.
I mean, many of our alarm cases are based on the fact that we have contracts.
Right.
That have been executed with non-registrants in the public. We just didn't have that.
This is Kevin
Kritzel.
So my...
Go ahead, Alejandro.
Patty, you know what? I was going to say that I think I tend to agree with what everybody said, you know, Carmen and Ms. Correll and Mr. Parlin, that it's hard to reach the threshold. I am still troubled. I think Pueblo is in the wrong, even if it's hard to demonstrate, in the sense that hiring someone as an electronic security systems sales rep, it's clearly hiring someone to be an alarm agent. So then to claim that they didn't know about it seems disingenuous to me. I also think the proposals were intending, were selling, they might not have sold them and installed them, but they were intending to sell alarm systems, because an alarm system as defined in our statute does not require an alarm to be installed or a notification or a subscription system. As long as it's not proprietary, it includes anything that sends signals and alert security. So I'm still troubled by what Pueblo's doing, but I don't think we have the evidence we need to move forward with anything other than a dismissal.
This is Patty Kritzel. I'm the deputy director for the board. You know, for the company, you seem to imply that you didn't think the board could look into just selling of a system, but clearly if you look at the law, if you're marketing, you're selling, and yes, the board can investigate that. So just to clarify, you may want to look closer at the definition of an alarm business.
Patty, are you saying that, can you clarify what you said for me? Are you saying, because for most of the professions we regulate not just the performance of services, but the offering of services to the public. Are you saying it's the same or different for alarms?
I'm saying it's the same, and it clearly states in law. My concern is it sounded as though the company was saying it didn't believe the board had authority if it's just in the matter of the selling. But if you look at the law, it does identify selling as being an alarm business. So, yes, Alejandro, I'm saying it is the same.
Right. And we do have the authority, as everyone knows, to under 32106.02 to investigate unlicensed practice, so to speak. And so just as a cautionary comment.
Thank you. So listen, that goes back to my point is, should we consider having, and I know we don't have any EAC, but should we have experts review this in alarm systems?
We have looked into it, Alejandro, and the problem is finding where that resource is.
Right.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion on the matter? I'm open for motions here, folks.
Mr. Chair, this is Carmen. I move we dismiss this case as I don't see the actual sales have gone through. And
I would actually love if staff continued to reach out, because as we get to the Internet of Things, there will be more and more products that are installed that come dangerously close to being alarm systems, I suspect.
Thank you, Carmen. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Chair, this is Steve. I would second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair. This is Gene Montgomery.
Yes, Gene. You have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to make an observation. Not to say that there isn't enough guilt to go around on this, but I would imagine, and it's been said several times by Mr. Boggs, that he was knowingly selling an alarm system for a firm that was not licensed to sell an alarm system, and he was knowledgeable of that. Secondly, the firm itself was aware that proposals were going out selling alarm systems and did not cease and desist. So I'm not quite sure if either party, is totally harmless in this. I mean, they knew they were breaking the law and the letter or the intent of the regulations in their conduct of business.
Pueblo Mechanical denied that they knew Mr. Boggs was disseminating these presentations, and in fact denied that they had even knew about these presentations. For example, the Jogan Thermal Checkpoint slide, Mr. Barr stated they had never seen that before.
So they were unaware of his industry presentations for these security systems?
Allegedly.
So he could offer up a scope of work with financial contract without the corporation being in consent?
Well, I also had a conversation with Mr. Boggs. Let me give you the exact date. I spoke with Mr. Boggs on July 1st, 2020, and I actually questioned Mr. Boggs on how Pueblo Mechanical knew what he was working on and how did they approve his projects. And Mr. Boggs stated to me that he had little to no supervision in his job. And so I did confront him about that statement, and I asked him, well, how did your supervisor know what you were working on? How did they approve these projects and these presentations? And Mr. Boggs clarified that although he had little to no supervision, his supervisors did know what he was working on. I was unable to uncover that through evidence.
And this is Elliot Isaac. If the board wants to hear from me, I would love to speak. If not, I'll understand that you don't want to hear from me.
Gene, you have the floor right now. Would you like to hear from Mr. Isaac?
No, I would like to just keep this on the board side for the moment.
Thank you, and we will do that.
Yeah. So Ms. Connolly, you were in discussion with both parties regarding these proposals, and you're satisfied that he was acting autonomously.
I am satisfied with what I uncovered. I mean, I think it's a really difficult case. Mr. Boggs is very passionate about this case, and I understand that. I just wasn't able to uncover the evidence to support his conclusions.
What was Mr. Boggs' explanation to you as to why he continued selling alarm systems without a licensed firm?
He said that that's what he was hired to do. Pueblo Mechanical says no, he wasn't. And I'm not able to uncover anything from Pueblo Mechanical that supports he was hired to sell alarms, or that he even made an offer to sell alarms on behalf of Pueblo Mechanical. I couldn't find one email from Pueblo Mechanical saying, go ahead, send this out, this proposal is approved. There just was no internal communication that supported his position.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Kerr.
Mr. Okay, Chair, go ahead, Dean.
Are you through, Gene?
No, I'm finished, Dr. Alejandro. Go ahead.
Thank you, Gene.
Hey, thank you. So I just wanted to clarify, you know, I'm going to vote to dismiss, but more on the basis that I'm not sure whether these are alarm systems or not. I think they might be, but I'm not quite convinced. I am convinced that hiring Mr. Box as a electronic security system sales rep, they knew what he was up to. I don't know if they knew it was an alarm or not, but they knew what he was doing. And I think they were selling those services. I also don't want to give up the board's authority on regulating the sale of alarms. It's not about installation only. It's about offering the services. So with those caveats, I just wanted to explain my vote.
Okay, so we do have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? I think at this point, well, I guess I have to ask, is there any other discussion from the other board members we haven't heard from? Okay, we'll go ahead and go through the roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Jason Foos?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Eugene Montgomery?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, the case was dismissed unanimously. That concludes case number AL20-011, agenda item 6A1. Thank you to the respondent and the alleger for attending and your legal counsels.
Thank you, board members. This is Elliot Isaac. We appreciate everything. Thank you.
Yes, this is Dan Barr. Thank you.
Okay, it is 10 o'clock. We are scheduled to go into executive session.
Mr. Harris is just a few minutes late, so okay. Feel free to call another matter, and when he arrives, obviously, we can go into
executive session. Is he going to show in person?
He is, yes.
Okay, all right, so that's fantastic.
Mr. Chair, Clarence McAllister is here. Clarence McAllister is here.
Hi,
welcome, Clarence.
We're
moving on to item 6A2, which is case P20045. And we do have somebody on the phone on that. Aaron Harris, are you on the phone still?
Let's see. Okay, I'm here. Thank you.
This is announce yourself, please. Are you Aaron Harris?
Good morning, members of the board. This is Aaron Harris, here to discuss this matter.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and announce the case here. This is case number P20.
Mr. Chair, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to disclose that I know Ms. Harris, but I think I can be fair and impartial on this case.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Angel. This is case number P20045, agenda item 6A2. The synopsis of the complaint is that on March 31st, 2020, the board received a complaint alleging that the respondent failed to fulfill contractual obligations relating to the permitting, misled the client regarding approval permits, refused to release CAD files to other professionals, and withdrew from the project prior to completion while providing professional services on Trinity Subdivision Project in Tucson, Arizona during 2019 and 2020. The investigative conclusion is that the respondent has not violated board statute 32128C4, in that the respondent failed to fulfill contractual obligations related to permitting, misled the client regarding approved permits, refused to release CAD files to professionals, and withdrew prior to the completion of this project. The board staff recommends that the allegations against the respondent be dismissed. At this time, I'll open the floor to Aaron Harris for any comments.
Good morning, all again. This is my first time talking with the board on something like this, so I don't really know what to say or how to say it, other than I appreciate the investigation that's been done by staff. I obviously concur with the response from the other professionals that evaluated